In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We celebrate today the feast of St. James the Greater, the brother of St. John, and one of the sons of thunder, and also the first of the apostles to suffer martyrdom at the hands of Herod Agrippa. There's an interesting parallel between St. John the Baptist, the death of St. John the Baptist, who was under Herod the Great, and here St. James the Greater under Herod Agrippa, that with the text of the scripture, both in the Gospel of St. Matthew and also in the Acts of the Apostles, actually in all the synoptics for the death of St. John the Baptist, it was because the dance of Herodias' daughter pleased Herod, and it was that interior of Herod, that pride that was moved towards lust, really the possession of the other, to use the other, that eventually resulted in both the pledge of half of his kingdom and also the death of St. John the Baptist. Similarly, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, we have Herod Agrippa, who basically wages a political campaign supporting the religious observance of the Jews to the extent that it would please the Jews that the apostles would be killed. And St. James was targeted as the first. And seeing that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take up Peter also. And here, this again, a desire to both be pleased and now to please the other, which is really the desire of, or disorder of pride, working through the other to use the other for power. We have these two fallen tendencies of the human person. And those fallen tendencies are actually shown to us, exposed by Jesus, in the hearts of the sons of thunder, St. James and St. John, that we want, right after the prediction of the Passion, that this is what's going to happen, the Son of Man will be delivered up, scourged, mocked, crucified. Hey, what about us? When you come to your kingdom, can we sit one at your right and one at your left hand? And Jesus defers the question and transfers it into this notion of the chalice. And the next time that we hear Jesus talking about the chalice, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the chalice of his passion that he invites the disciples to. And that is really the remedy always for the disorder of men. Great is the ambition of men, and it needs a radical remedy right from the root. And that radical remedy is really putting it to death. St. John of the Cross will talk about the complete self-denial. It has to be a total self-denial. You think of some of the figures in the Old Testament, Saul, who didn't pursue all the enemies of the Lord, did not put everyone under the sword, and consequently did not please the Lord, and actually the kingdom was taken away from him. So too with us, if we are not 100% that all the rooted disorders within us, we must pursue, we must put to death. And here's St. John of the Cross. Oh, that one, this is the ascent of Mount Carmel. Oh, that one could tell us how far our Lord desires this self-denial to be carried. It must certainly be like to death and annihilation, temporal, natural, and spiritual, in all things that the will esteems wherein consists all self-denial. And it is this that our Lord meant when he said, he that will save his life, the same shall lose it. That is to say, he that will possess anything or seek anything for himself, the same shall lose it. And he that loses his soul for my sake, the same shall gain it. That is to say, he who for Christ's sake renounces all that his will can desire and enjoy, and chooses that which is most like to the cross, which the Lord Jesus himself, through St. John, describes as hating his soul, the same shall gain it. And this his majesty taught to those two disciples who went and begged him for a place on his right hand and on his left. When giving no countenance to the request for such glory, he offered them the chalice, which he had to drink as a thing more precious and more secure upon this earth than is fruition. He later will go on to talk about that this chalice is death to the natural self. It's a death that must be complete. And he says, as a result, not only has the soul made its renunciation in regards both sense and spirit, he will divide. In fact, even in the two Herods, we can see kind of a clasping at the goods of sense with Herod the Great, this lust, and also a grasping at the goods of the spirit, honor, with Herod Agrippa. And those two deaths to sense and spirit must take place. It's renunciation in regards to both sense and spirit, but it is not hindered even by that which is spiritual in taking the narrow way. This is an important point because St. Francis will tell us that in the division of St. Paul, the flesh and the soul or the spirit, that the flesh will try to grasp and steal even the goods of the soul. And that's an important point because that is the deeper part of the human person and it must be rooted out as well. The good news is that Marian consecration takes us up into just such a renunciation. It's almost a prevenient renunciation at the orders of sense and spirit. It's a yes in union with the co-redemptive yes of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, all merits and all satisfactions, which would include the renunciation. I mean, there's nothing more that Our Lady loved and desired than her son Jesus. And that's an infinite good which she gave, which she relinquished in accordance with the will of the Father and the will of the Son. And we're taken up into that in Marian consecration. So it's like a prevenient renunciation, a yes to whatever crosses will come, both at the level of sense and spirit. That's big, but it's also good. It's a security insofar as that we have made a definitive yes to all the tribulations that will come. And there's also something of a buffer with these goods of the soul that we are protected from gaining too much self-confidence because we don't have them. That is to say, the merits that we could have possessed, we have given over to Our Lady. And that's a good buffer because, a lot like St. Therese, we're going through the course of life in really a state of spiritual abject poverty. All the spiritual goods coming in, all the merits are given over completely. And that's good because that's as close as we can come to mediation, the purity of mediation, the purity of being in a relationship with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, giving all for the Immaculate. Last thought, that as St. James, St. John, and St. Peter were privileged to see our Lord in the Transfiguration, they were also privileged to see his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. And those two basically linchpins of the spiritual life, Transfiguration and the Passion, St. Maximilian Kolbe will talk about in terms of Marian consecration. He says it's the tactic of the Immaculate. First the Passion, or first Calvary, and then Tabor. And so that's the dynamic within the interior, which is basically a spiritual crucifixion or the co-redemptive stance of Our Lady. All those interior goods must be given over to the King. They must be relinquished. And then Tabor, then the glory of Christ shining forth within the life of the Christian, which is really a metamorphosis, or we could say a transubstantiation. At the level of act, making an act, I will this, give it, and then at the level of substance, at the level of one's being, which is the radiance of Tabor. May the good work that has begun in us, which came to its full fruition, even though it was exposed in its fallenness through the sons of thunder, glorious martyrdom, glorious giving of one's life for the kingdom. May St. James intercede for us this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.